Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, December 4, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
All right. To get things started, first of all, yesterday was Chris's birthday yesterday, but the lady in charge of everybody's birthdays and birthday cards and gifts, and she has a whole notebook on that. She was busy running spiritual hurdles, and she didn't have the time, and it slipped her mind. But yesterday was Chris's birthday. The best pizza in the world, Chris Builder's Pizza. So happy birthday, Chris. And my soulmate is waxing. You see, the grandchildren would come over and want to take a bath. They get in the bathtub and they'd say, "Oh, I'm just going to wax." So Debbie's at home waxing. They won't let her get in a bathtub, but she's in front of the fireplace, an easy chair, waxing. And I don't know how long she'll be waxing, but last night I woke up about seven times and I reached over and there was nobody on the other side of the bed. Oh. And when I got to the hospital, I said, "Did you have a great night's sleep?" She looked like a porcupine with all of the needles up and down both arms, and every 30 minutes they come in, do an EKG, draw blood, detect blood pressure every 30 minutes. She goes, "Oh, yeah." And then if she turns over, she says, "I can't sleep on my back." But I said, "You can't sleep on your back with all that going on." But when I turn over, ding, 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 ding. And then she said, "Well, maybe if I turn on the other side, ding, ding, ding." Anyway, she is home and waxing. And first thing she said, "Oh, it was Chris Builder's birthday yesterday. Oh, oh." I said, "Well, he is going to be pissed off at you." What the hell do you think you're doing having a heart attack when it's his birthday? I mean, that's just not very thoughtful. I mean, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word." And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in this amazing passage. You'll never see anything like this in the word of God. This is, you combine the inspiration ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, with a genius like the Apostle Paul, well, this is what you wind up with. You won't find this anywhere else in the Scriptures. Fantastic passage. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The first lesson at Las Ventanas Assisted Living Facility was today, and it went great. God blessed us, and prayers were answered. 9 residents attended and were very interested and engaged. After presenting the gospel message of salvation, we listened to a portion of the first lesson from the Heaven Special. After the lesson, we closed in prayer, then gave everyone a copy of the purple booklet, a brochure about Upland Bible Church, and a flyer describing the weekly Bible lesson for them to share with others in their community. Next Wednesday, we will continue where we left off with the Heaven Special. We thank everyone for your prayers and look forward to God continuing to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. Jamie and Rich. Jamie and Rich. Rich Blair. Now, did you tell them you're Pastor Blair when you got there? All right, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. We have 3 demonstrations of the ministry of the winner believer, in full-time Christian service. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul gives 3 demonstrations of the winner believer's spiritual life. And he does so by using 3 series of 9s. Category number 1, suffering for blessing given to the winner believer. And that's in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5, which says, in corrected translation, rather, in every way we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God, by means of courageous endurance and perseverance. 1, in the sphere of afflictions. 2, in calamities. 3, in distresses and troubles. 4, in beatings. 5, in imprisonments. 6, in riots and political persecution. 7, in hard work to the point of total exhaustion. 8, in sleepless nights. And 9, in hunger. Then he went to category number 2. 9 characteristics that mark the winner believer's attainment of spiritual maturity and having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that's verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, 1, by means of purity. Purity because all the garbage has been hauled out because of all the metabolized doctrines that comes in. Every time you learn and believe the Word of God comes in and hauls all the garbage out, and pretty soon you've got a clean heart. Purity. By means of purity. 2, by means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. 3, by means of patience, makrothumia, forbearance. That's virtue love in the sense of impersonal love for all and putting up with all those stinkers that are out there. For by means of kindness, Christotes, that's grace function. And again, that's a very important part of impersonal love for all. 5, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. 6, by genuine virtue love without hypocrisy, unhypocritical virtue love. 7, by means of the word of absolute truth. 8, by means of the power of God. 9, by means of the weapons of righteousness. The weapons of righteousness, the armor of God. For the right hand and the left. For offense, the sword of the Spirit. And for defense, the shield of faith, the faith rest life. Now that brings us to category number 3. 9 paradoxes. 9 paradoxes of the winner believer, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 8 through 10. We have studied the first 7 of these paradoxes. Paradox number 1, by means of glory and dishonor. Paradox number 2, by means of slander and praise. Paradox number 3, as deceivers and imposters. This is what the arrogant losers in the cosmic system say about Paul. And yet, truthful and honest. Paradox number 4, as not knowing the word of God, and yet knowing the word of God exactly, completely, and through. Paradox number 5, as dying, and yet, behold, we live. Paradox number 6, as beaten, and yet not killed. Paradox number 7, as receiving pain and suffering, yet always having inner happiness, plus H. The winner believer has a self-contained happiness that goes with them 24/7, every single day. And most of you have been here a while. You know, my wife, Debbie, she is the most fantastic winner believer. And when she's been having mild heart attacks for over a month. And yet, she's here doing a million things here at the church. Working on the Christmas play with the kids, teach head up bib ed department. She helps the deacons out. She helps me out a million ways. And going through all these things, you would never know that she even had a problem. You never know it. She's always got this inner happiness. She knows the Lord. She loves the Lord. She has this fantastic, amazing inner happiness. And she was, well, I called my brother, who also had blockages in his heart. And when I told him that this artery was the widowmaker, he said, that's the block I had. It was the widowmaker artery in my body. But he says, it was only 70% blocked. And he says, that was horrible. It was 70% blocked, and that was horrible. And what was dead? 95.5%. And my brother just, I don't know how she. I said, she'd been having this for every day for 30 days, every day, for the last month. but here every night, never miss class. She didn't want Sunday. It was so bad, she did not want to miss communion for anything. Here she is having a heart attack. She is not going to miss communion. And she was here. And then that night, she just got so bad, she said, we need to go to the hospital. And we did on Monday. And Dr. Ruggieroli is the best cardiologist in Las Vegas, been my cardiologist. His father was my cardiologist. That's how old I am. His father was my cardiologist. His father went home, and his father is a believer in Jesus Christ. I went in to see. I gave him the gospel over and over and over. I gave him the gospel. I gave him a whole bunch of the colonel's booklets, and he took them and he read them. And when he was on his dying bed, I went in to see him, and he was racked with cancer. He couldn't talk. I didn't even recognize him. His body was racked with cancer. And I just went in and I said, Doc, I can't thank you enough for all you have helped me with regard to my health. I want to thank you for that. That is awesome. And I said, I can never repay you for those things, but I can do this. Tell you how you will know, Doc. You will know that you will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. And I said, I know you got a Catholic background. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Catholicism has nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and did all the work. All of your sins were poured out on him and judged in him once and for all. He did all the work. There's only one thing you can do for salvation. Believe in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, Doc, I'll see you in heaven. He couldn't talk. He reached out and grabbed my hand and squeezed my hand as hard as he could squeeze it. I said, Doc, I take that as a yes, and I'll see you in heaven. And I left. A few hours later, he was in heaven. Now his son is my doctor. And when I went to see Dr. Charles Ruggieroli Jr., first thing he did, he closed the door. He said, Pastor Olson, I understand you went to see my dad just hours before he died. I said, yes, I did. I said, your dad is in heaven. I said, I know your family has a Catholic background, but I explained it. Catholicism, just because you're Catholic doesn't mean you're going to be in heaven. Most of the Catholics are going to be in hell. It's by faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And I explained to him what I just explained to you. And he couldn't thank me enough. Thank you, Pastor Olson. Thank you for taking the time to go in and see my dad. And when I go in for my six-month checkup, he spends more time asking me questions about the Bible than he does about my heart. Eventually, he puts in 30 seconds and, oh, yeah, you're okay. But he did do something for me. He gave me, he says, this is my personal cell number, personal cell phone number. Pastor Olson, if you have any problems that you think are very serious, I want you to call me. Don't call the office. Call me. I will answer and talk to you personally. Well, I never used that. But you know what? That was God's. God did all that. God set all that up. And when Debbie, well, I woke up and said, how did you do last night? She says, horrible. I thought, I almost woke you up and said, we got to go now. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go in and call Dr. Ruggieroli. I went in and called him. I explained what Deb's going through. I said, I know you gave me this number for me to call you personally. This isn't for me, but this is for my soulmate. My soulmate, Doc, Debbie. And she got something seriously going on. And he says, you get to the hospital now. And we got there now, but I'm going to tell you something. If you want to go to emergency on the day after Thanksgiving, don't do it. That place is so packed, there's no place to sit down. And we're sitting there waiting and waiting for hours and hours and hours. And then who walks in? Dr. Ruggieroli comes over, looks at Deb. Deb, of course, here she is. She has all your birthdays, all your birthdays. She also wrote down everything, her blood pressure all night long, heart rate all night long, had handed it to him. He's looking at these things. He said, well, I saw the EKG. They put it on the internet. He says, you definitely have to be admitted. He said, I think I know specifically where the blockage is. And he was thinking the LAD, Widowmaker. And he walked back in and says, Deb Olson needs to have her blood work taken now. That you need to check for this and this and this and this ASAP. They did, got the results, and came out with a wheelchair, and she was taken back. Her heart enzyme, the key is your heart enzyme. Her heart enzymes are supposed to be 20. It was 4,000. And that's damaging the heart because there's no blood getting to it. And yet here she is sitting here, and she was so... She was smiling and polite, and with everybody that helped her, she was absolutely phenomenal. I'm just going, gee, this is the best. And everybody that came in, they loved coming into her room, and because she was so happy, she had that plus H in her soul, whether she was having a heart attack or wasn't, didn't make any difference. She had plus H, sharing the happiness of God. And they all saw it. They all saw it. Visible impact. Well, that's what we have. As receiving pain and suffering, yet always having inner happiness. That's the seventh paradox. And we ended in a passage that's very apropos. Turn over, we'll start with it tonight, Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. The paradox number 7. Paradox number 7, Acts 16, verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. They were beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Now, if he doesn't do that, they'll kill the jailer. He knows that. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't know if that's what they were singing, but why not? Jeremiah wrote about it. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to commit suicide, kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here. You want to join us in a hymn?" The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, visible impact of the winner believer. It's fantastic. "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Well, that's paradox number 7. Now that brings us to paradox number 8. As poor, yet making many rich. This is the conjunction host plus the nominative plural of potokos plus the conjunction da plus the present active participle of plutizo plus the accusative plural of polus. Once again, the conjunction host all the way through here sets up a comparison and is correctly translated as. And then we have old potokos. P-T, long, O-C-H-O-S, potokos. All right, a couple of things. First of all, potokos is an adjective that literally means begging or depending upon others for support. To be poor, destitute. That's literally, it's an adjective, okay? Point two. Potokos is, however, is mostly used as a substantive. Most of the time, it's a noun. And it means a beggar. Someone reduced to poverty. Three, this is someone who lacks the necessities of life. Someone who lacks the necessities of life. Four, this is someone who does not have food, clothing, or a place to live. Now, we have a lot of people that around this area that this characterizes their life. They have no food, they have no clothing, they have no place to live. And for 11 years, Deb and I and our sons, when they were little shavers, we lived here. We lived here in this church, in a little room back over here, for 11 years. And all these homeless people would come by. And I would, first of all, they'd ask for money, and I'll say, I'm going to tell you something. I'll give you some money first time. But I'm going to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if If you simply believe in Jesus Christ, that he paid the penalty for all of your sins on the cross, he will set up a grace pipeline for you, and you will never have to beg for food or clothing ever again, or money. He will provide everything for you through that grace pipeline. But I said, if you come back, I won't give you money, but if you need any food or clothes, I'll be glad to give you that. And we gave food and clothes to a lot of them. So this is someone who does not have food, clothing, and place to live. Now, you wouldn't expect that Apostle Paul's talking about himself. He's talking about himself. There were times when this characterizes Paul, the Apostle Paul. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11. First Corinthians 4, verse 11. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. And we are homeless. This is Apostle Paul. Over time, this characterizes his life. And he's the greatest believer on the face of the earth. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty and are in rags, brutally treated, and we are homeless. Well, that's Patokos 5. God graciously provides for this individual believer by sending down the grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support. God graciously provides for this individual believer by sending down the grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing, and support. Temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. And we have the conjunction death. D-E. An adversative death. And it may be translated but, or however, or on the other hand, or and yet. And that's the best way. We're going to translate it. And yet. Patokos, and yet plutizo. Ah, that's what you want. P-L-O-U-T-I-Z, long O, plutizo. So, as poor, and yet making many plutizo. All right, one. Plutizo literally means to make someone rich. To make someone rich. Two. Figuratively, plutizo refers to spiritual riches. To make someone rich with spiritual riches. The Apostle Paul made multitudes and multitudes and multitudes rich with spiritual riches. Three, when you fulfill your royal ambassadorship and proclaim the grace gospel to a lost and dying world, many unbelievers will believe in Jesus Christ and receive great spiritual riches. When you fulfill your royal ambassadorship and proclaim the grace gospel to a lost and dying world, many unbelievers will place their faith in Jesus Christ and at that moment receive great spiritual riches. Like what? I'm glad you asked. You become royal family of God. Royal family of God. Two, you're now spiritual aristocracy. Spiritual aristocracy. Three, God has set up a grace pipeline with His justice on one end and His imputed righteousness in you on the other end. And right there, that grace pipeline. First, you get 40 salvation blessings instantly that are above and beyond anything you could ask or think. And every single day after that, right up to today, logistical grace, blessing, and support. Temporal security to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Four. Faithful pastor teachers proclaim the grace and truth of the Word of God, and many believers receive spiritual riches, great spiritual riches. Those many believers are the ones with humility, respect for the authority of God, the Word of God, and the pastor who teaches it, and positive volition. So faithful pastor teachers proclaim the grace and truth of the Word of God, and many unbelievers, those with humility and positive volition, receive great spiritual riches. First of all, the greatest treasure that you will ever have is the treasure of the Word of God in your heart. The greatest treasure, not gold, not silver, not diamonds, but the Word of God is the greatest treasure that you will ever have, and you learn it and believe it, it's in your heart. So maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, the greatest treasure of all. Secondly, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all mankind. Occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God every single day, self-contained happiness, no matter what's going on in your life. No matter what's going on in the world or America or Nevada, whether you are in great health or poor health, whether you have a lot of material things or you have nothing, it makes no difference. You have the greatest spiritual riches of the Word of God. You have the greatest spiritual riches of virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Your occupation with Jesus Christ, He's made Himself at home in your heart. And the other side of the coin is you share the happiness of God. You have greater grace blessing for time, and you will have greater grace blessing for all eternity awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul speaking, he says in verse 8, Ephesians 3, 8, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches unfathomable riches of Christ. So in our corrected translation, as receiving pain and suffering, yet always having inner happiness, as poor and yet making many spiritually rich. And then paradox number 9, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. This is the conjunction host plus the present active participle of echo with the neuter of the adjective medes, plus the conjunction chi with the present active participle of kot echo, plus the accusative plural neuter of the adjective pos. Once again, the conjunction host sets up a comparison and is correctly translated as. And then the verb echo. E-C-H long O. Echo. One, as a transitive verb, echo literally means to have and to hold. To have and to hold. Two, it means to have as one's own, to have as one's own or to possess. To have as one's own or to possess. Point three, however, we have the negative medes. With the negative medes, medes means nothing. So we have as having nothing. As having nothing. Medes. Four, materially, the winner believer will have times when he has nothing. There are times when he has nothing. Now, when I came to Upland Bible Church, they called me to be their pastor. They didn't quite tell me all of the situation in the church as far as there's they had no money. The bank wouldn't have anything to do with Upland Bible Church. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with Upland Bible Church because the church owed this and this and this and this and this. I said, okay. I would have liked to have known that. But I said, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to pay me anything. What you're going to do is pay the bills. You're going to pay the bills. Pay the bills. Don't pay me. Pay the bills. Because right now, nobody, no bank or anybody wants to have anything to do with it. So, don't pay me. Then for quite a while, I worked for nothing. But I didn't worry about that. I just kept teaching grace and truth and grace and truth. And people started coming and wanting to hear more grace and truth and grace and truth. Just kept teaching. Pretty soon, the deacon said, well, I think we can pay you maybe $100 now. I said, oh, not so much. No. And so that for a while I got $100 and then a couple $100s and then $300, pretty soon $500. We were on easy street too. And then the city said, okay, there are improvements you were supposed to put in and you didn't do it. You're supposed to have a parking lot, you don't have a parking lot. There's supposed to be a wall over here. There's no wall over here. And, well, the church didn't have money to do that. Now, I was living. They did provide a house for me. I said, sell the house. Deb and I and the kids will live here at the church. Sell the house and we'll use the money. And do all the improvements that the city needs to be done. So we didn't have a house either. Well, I guess we had kids from their school. The kids' school came over and go, wow, this is a great house, you know. And we were here 11 years. And just, we were looking, so maybe someday, you know. And things got straightened out, and everything was done for the city. And we were in great situation with the banks and everything. And so one of the deacons said, you know, I found a house over here. It's a two-story house, and if you don't buy it, Pastor Olson, I'm going to buy it. And so I said, well, and he says, they're only asking, you won't believe it, $60,000. Just $60,000. I go, whew. Okay. Well, we wound up getting that house and living in it, and but it didn't make any difference whether we had a house or didn't have a house, whether we were in that house or living in the church. It didn't make any difference if I was getting paid or not getting paid. I was doing what God put me here to do, and as long as there were people with humility and positive volition that wanted Bible teaching, well, that's why God put me here. God put me here to give you the teaching of grace and truth. And it doesn't make any difference. Those are all non-issues. So we have maydays here as having nothing. So point four, materially, the winner believer from time to time may have nothing. And this is the winner believer. Five, maydays with echo means loss of the details of life. Loss of the details of life. It means loss of materialistic things. It means loss of money. It means loss of social life. It may mean loss of health. The conjunction chi is the adversative chi and is correctly translated, and yet, and now we go from echo with maydays as having nothing to cot echo. From echo with maydays to cot echo. K-A-T-E-C-H, long O, cot echo. One, cot echo means to keep in one's possession or to possess. To possess. Two, with the accusative plural neuter of the adjective pos, used as a substantive, a noun, it means, and yet possessing all things. And yet possessing all things. So, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. That's the winner believer. There are times when you may have nothing as far as material things go, as far as money goes, any of those things. As far as the house goes, any of those things. Three. So the details of life, the details of life, materialistic things, may be gone. But the winner believer possesses all things. What's that? He has greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings. So the details of life, the materialistic things, they might be gone. They were for Paul from time to time. But the winner believer possesses all things. That is greater grace blessings from God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, point four, possessing all things includes all of the greater grace blessing package. All of the greater grace blessing package for time and for eternity. It includes virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It includes your personal love for God the Father, your impersonal love for all mankind, your occupation with Jesus Christ, your sharing the happiness of God. All of these make up a part of these great spiritual blessings. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. All right. Well, I'm sad to say that this great paragraph is over. Very, very special. Again, suffering for blessing given to the winner believer, verses 4 and 5. Rather, in every way we demonstrate ourselves as servants of God by means of courageous endurance and perseverance. One, in the sphere of afflictions. Two, in calamity. Three, in distresses and troubles. Four, in beatings. Five, in imprisonments. Six, in riots and mobs, political persecution. Seven, in hard work to the point of total exhaustion. Eight, in sleepless nights. Nine, in hunger. And then, verses 6 and 7, the winner believer having all these characteristics of virtue love. By means of purity, because Bible doctrine has hauled out all of the garbage out of the soul. By means of knowledge, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. By means of macrothumia, patience, forbearance, great virtue love, impersonal love for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Four, by means of Christotes, kindness, grace function, key part of virtue love. Five, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Six, by genuine virtue love, unhypocritical virtue love. Seven, by means of the word of absolute truth. Eight, by means of the power of God. Nine, by means of the weapons of righteousness, the armor of God, for the right hand and the left, for offense, the sword of the Spirit, for defense, the shield of faith, the faith rests life. And then the nine paradoxes, verses 8 to 10. By means, paradox number one, by means of glory and dishonor. Two, by means of slander and praise. Three, as deceivers and impostors. and yet truthful and honest. For as not knowing, being ignorant of the Word of God, and yet knowing the Word of God exactly, completely, through and through. Five, as dying, and yet behold we live. Six, as beaten, and yet not killed. Seven, as receiving pain and suffering, yet always having inner happiness. Eight, as poor, yet making many spiritually rich. Nine, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Well, that is one of the great, great passages ever in the Word of God. Now we have 2 Corinthians 6:11 and 12. We have the danger of reversionism and emotional revolt of the soul. What happens when you make those bad decisions? You get out of fellowship with God. You get into Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance. Might just be something as simple as self-centeredness. We got a lot of self-centeredness, selfishness. That gets you into the cosmic system and cosmic one and then cosmic two, antagonism, hatred, hatred toward Bible doctrine. And you wind up living the cosmic life. So here we have the danger of reversionism and emotional revolt of the soul. Verse 11. O ye Corinthians. This is just one word. Corinthioi. Just one word. It's the vocative plural of Corinthias. The vocative case is the vocative of address. So the Apostle Paul is addressing some believers, not all believers in Corinth, some of the believers. And so Corinthias is transliterated Corinthian. So one, what Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians 6:11 and 12, he is teaching to a specific category of believers in Corinth. What Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians 6:11 and 12, he is teaching to a specific category of believers in Corinth. Two, the vocative of address, the Apostle Paul is addressing those believers in Corinth who are living in Satan's cosmic system. They're negative to Bible doctrine. They're arrogant. They have no humility, no respect for God, no respect for the Word of God, no respect for the communicator of the Word of God. That's who he is addressing. He's addressing those believers in Corinth who are living in Satan's cosmic system. Three, they have reacted to Paul's teaching. They've reacted to Paul's teaching of grace and truth. How do you get into reversion? Well, it starts out stage one, reaction. So they have reacted to Paul's teaching of grace and truth. Four, through negative volition and arrogance, they are living in Satan's cosmic system. Through negative volition and arrogance, they are living in Satan's cosmic system. Five, they are in reversionism. They're going through the eight stages of reversionism. And one of those stages being emphasized in these two verses. And that is emotional revolt of the soul. They are in emotional revolt of the soul. In other words, they are, point seven, they are living by their emotions. So all we have is O Corinthians, and boy, there's a lot there, see? And then we have in the King James, our speech to you is candid. See, you didn't know it. Way back there in Paul's day, smile. You're on candid camera. So we are going to see this. This is a very, very important couple of verses here, 11 and 12. And sad to say, but many, many Christians, this is where they're living. This is where they are. And that many of the believers in Corinth were in this situation with their heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege we have had this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.